We're going to preach a message that maybe perhaps would be a little bit different for a Sunday morning, maybe even perhaps a little bit unusual, but this is what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart, especially because we specifically made this, designated this day as Bus Sunday. I wanted to answer the question, one of the ministries that we have here, our bus ministry, I want to talk for a few minutes this morning on our Sunday morning service as to why we have the bus ministry. Why we do what we do with a bus route every single Sunday. And I know that it may be perhaps a little bit different for a Sunday message, but I do believe that the Lord can use the truths of the bus ministry and why we do the things that we do to speak to our hearts. And so let God speak to you as we go through these passages of Scripture this morning to talk about our bus ministry and why we do the things that we do in our bus ministry. Some of you that are listening today and are part of our service may not know exactly all the details of what is involved with a bus ministry. I know that when I was growing up at an early age in life, really just not 8 or 9 years old at the time, and many of you have heard the testimony about this, I had a man that encouraged me to get involved in a bus ministry. And my heart just fell in love with the bus ministry. And I desired that the places where God would use me in ministry, I wanted to make sure there was a bus ministry that was a part of that, because I have a love and a heart for the bus ministry. And so there may be some that are sitting here. I guess sometimes I maybe take it for granted, perhaps, because I'm on the bus route every Sunday and I've been working in it for a long time. And so I maybe take for granted the fact that some may not know exactly what all we do with our bus route. So I want to just take the time to talk about our bus ministry this morning and take some passages of Scripture and try to encourage you with it. And there's many things that go into our bus route, and some of you hear us talk about Saturday. We talk about Saturday as we go out and we visit. Now, Saturday visitation is not only for our bus ministry now. We're trying to reach souls with the gospel. We're trying to see people trust Christ as Savior. But one of the aspects of our Saturday visitation is we try to let people know in our area that we do have a bus route that comes around. And we have a bus route that picks up individuals that need a ride to church, whether it be an adult, whether it be a teenager, whether it be a child. They have the opportunity to get on a bus and come into church. I realize that every door we knock on, they're not going to need a bus to come by. There's many individuals that will look at us even while we're visiting, and they say, well, we don't need that. You know, we have our own transportation, but thank you for letting us know that. And they're just thankful that they have been told that we have that ministry and we offer that in our church, just a ride to church for somebody that needs to come in with a bus and provide transportation in that way. And so we have opportunity to go out and visit individuals and let them know about our bus route. And then we have opportunity to present the gospel to individuals during our visitation because of our bus ministry and the folks that we reach out to that ride in on our bus. We have an opportunity to extend the gospel to them, and then folks that are inside of their home as well. And so we'll go out to homes and try to follow up with individuals that have rode the bus, or individuals that we would refer to them as a prospect, meaning that somebody that has shown some interest in riding the bus. And so we're trying to follow up with them, and we're trying to get them on the bus. As a matter of fact, this week I made several phone calls throughout the course of the week trying to follow up with individuals that have either contacted the church or called us and had questions about our bus ministry. And then yesterday we visited in the homes of several of those who ride our bus so that we could try to find out if they were coming to the services today. And so that's one of the aspects of it. And then on Sunday morning, we get on the bus and we have a great time with those who ride the bus. One of the things that we have had in our bus ministry for years here now is we have a program on our bus. And so we're not just riding into church and going back home. We have a program on our bus. And so one of the things that we had the privilege to do even this morning is we were leading singing on the bus. And so we'll get up there as we're coming into church and we have a full song service. And I mean, we have a time with it. We enjoy singing songs on the bus. And then we get our riders here to church and have an opportunity to allow these that come in to sit in our Sunday school classes and be able to hear the gospel in Sunday school. And then they get to be a part of our morning service. And then we have an opportunity to get them back on the bus and be able to take them home, and the fellowship that we have with those that ride the bus. And on the way home, many times we'll have a program on the way home as well with a game that we play. We've had some differences, obviously, because of the virus, and then we had to shut our bus ministry down for a little bit. And so some things haven't been as usual as to what they would be on our bus routes. But we like to have things that are going on the bus, a program on the way to church and then a program on the way home, and have an opportunity to serve those that are riding in that way. And then I also wanted to mention this. I also wanted to take the time, because this is our bus Sunday, I wanted to take the time to thank those who do serve in our bus ministry, those who are a part of our visitation on Saturday, and then those who are workers and our drivers and our runners for the routes on Sunday. Thankful to Brother Richard. Brother Richard is one of our drivers, and we're so thankful that he has a burden on his heart. He has a desire on his heart to get on the bus every Sunday morning and drive the bus. We're thankful for his wife, who's a helper on the bus route, Miss Sarah. Thankful for their children that are on the bus. By the way, having their children on the bus helps me with the song service, because, boy, they're singing out. And we're thankful to have their children on the bus. I'm thankful that on the bus route, my family gets to serve. My wife and I, we get to serve on the bus route, and my children get to come in on the bus, and we're thankful for that. We have Brother Stephen Nagel and his wife Samantha that help us on the bus. And Brother Stephen's one of our runners, and what we mean by a runner, just in case somebody doesn't understand this, or maybe the terminology is out of the normal for you, we will have Stephen get out of the bus. And he will go up to the door and he'll knock on the door. We specifically tell everybody that's going to ride the bus, hey, you don't have to be looking out. Although some of them do. Some of them are looking out. They're ready to go and they'll come out the door even before we get there. But we want to let them know, hey, you don't have to be looking out the door. You don't have to be wondering when the bus is going to get there. You know, we'll have somebody come up and knock on your door and let you know we're there and let you know we're ready for you to come out and get on the bus. And then Mr. Stephen brings them over to the bus and tries to get them safely into the bus and then back home, making sure that they get back into the homes that they came from. And so Brother Stephen helps with the running on the bus, and his wife serves on the bus as well. Mr. Mike Buzzard, who's helping over in our junior church service this morning, he's one of our drivers as well. We're thankful for these men that have taken the time to get their CDL license, taking the time to make sure that they're updated on all of that. And they put the hard work in to be able to get their CDL so that they can drive the buses on the streets there in Hagerstown. Thankful for their faithfulness, for their commitment, for the desire that God has put upon their hearts to continue to pick up boys and girls for church on the bus. And so that kind of gives you an idea of what our bus route does on a Sunday, what we do on a Saturday, those that work on our bus routes. And we've had many, many bus workers over the course of the years who have served on our bus route. But then we want to make sure we take the time to talk about those who ride the bus as well. The jobs that we do and the workers that work on the bus, but then those who ride the bus. I'm so thankful over the course of these years that we've had our bus ministry here at the church that we've seen many, many, many adults that have ridden the bus, many teenagers that have ridden in on our church bus, and many children, many that have received the Lord as their Savior, many that have made decisions for Christ, and we've been able to see them grow in the Lord as a result of the bus route. And so God has, I know in my heart, placed a burden in my heart upon my heart for a bus ministry. I'm thankful that the churches that I've served at have had active bus ministries that are desiring to see individuals come to church. And then I want us to concentrate just for a moment, again, as we said just a second ago, upon the results of a bus ministry. The lives that have been changed and decisions that have been made because we've made decisions to take the buses out and pick up folks that may not have another way into church. Now, some may ask the question, well, why would we have a bus ministry with all the things that go into it, all the details that have to be worked out? Why would we have such a ministry in our church? And some would say, well, the bus ministry has a lot of cost that comes with it. And yes, it does. The fuel to fuel the buses, the inspections yearly that need to be done on our buses. We take the buses into Hagerstown and we have to get them inspected yearly, and there's a cost that comes with that, especially if there's repairs that would need to be done on a yearly basis with our buses. So the fuel certainly is a cost, and the inspections are a cost, and the repairs that take place, the maintenance just to keep the bus running the way it should, and then promotions that take place where we try to have something perhaps special during the services to as a promotion to encourage children to ride on the buses. That all is a cost as well. And so there's a lot of money involved in a bus route. And so some individuals would look at you and say, well, with all the cost that goes into bus ministry, why would you want to have that ministry in your church? And then how about all the work that goes into it? There's much labor that is involved in a bus ministry. And so those who serve in a bus ministry are not individuals that are lazy. They're individuals that have a work ethic, and there's work that is involved, a lot of labor that's involved, whether we talk about what happens on a Saturday or whether we talk about what happens on a Sunday or maybe perhaps even days throughout the course of the week preparing for what's going to take place in the bus ministry on a Sunday. And so there's a lot of work that goes into it. Well, with all of that cost and with all of that work, why would you have a bus ministry? And then there's some that may ask the question, well, with all of that time that has to go into it, much time is involved. Whether we talk about the visitation efforts that take place on a Saturday and the time that individuals give up of their own to be involved with that and the following up with prospects and individuals that might be interested in riding on the church bus. And then our bus workers showing up a little bit before 8 o'clock this morning. A little bit before 8 o'clock to get ready for the bus, to make sure the bus is ready to go, and then heading out to Hagerstown with the bus. And then our bus workers that will take the children home this afternoon will not get done. They won't get back to the parking lot until about 1:30, maybe even perhaps 2 o'clock this afternoon. You say, well, that's a lot of time on a Sunday. Why would you want to be involved with something that requires that much of your time? And then there's some that would ask, well, what about the problems? Now, we have had a bus ministry for many years at this church, and there is no way that I would be able to stand up here and say that we've never had a behavior issue. We've been bringing all of these children throughout the course of these years, and we've never had a behavior problem at all. So yes, there are behavior problems that are involved with in a bus ministry. Bus issues from time to time. Last Sunday, I remember, Mr. Mike was driving the bus, and he talked about one of the lights that need to be fixed. And so there's issues that come up like that from time to time, repairs that need to be made, and things that are problem areas as far as maintenance is concerned. And then how about disappointments from time to time? Those are problem areas in the bus ministry. Disappointments. You say, well, what do you mean by disappointments? Well, when you go out visiting on a Saturday and you knock on a door and you have somebody open the door and they say, well, I'll be there tomorrow. And when the bus comes by on Sunday morning, you knock on the door and you don't get the same response. And you get back in the bus as a bus worker, and I know in my years of working on a bus as a child and on my years of working on a bus as a teenager, a lot of times I'd get back on the bus after I'd run and knock on a door, and I would be a little disappointed. I'd say, hey, well, that was a child who told me yesterday they were coming, and they were excited about it. And then I get to their door on Sunday morning, and I knock, and they're not there. The disappointments, perhaps, of sometimes trying to reach a goal on a bus and not being able to reach a goal, or maybe wanting to see more things done on a bus route, maybe not all the time seeing exactly what you think all to be done. And so the disappointments that take place, and some may ask, well, with all of that cost and with all of that work and with all that time, the problems that arise from time to time, why would you want to have a bus ministry? And then the commitment that is required to drive the buses and to have a bus ministry in a church. We talked about our bus drivers. Our bus drivers have to take the time to get a CDL. And there's a lot that goes into getting a CDL. If you're sitting here tonight, or if you're sitting here this morning and you've got a CDL, you understand the work that goes into getting a CDL. And our drivers have taken the time to get their CDL for the purpose of driving a church bus on a Sunday morning. They've taken the money to spend to get that CDL, the time that was required to do it, and then to make sure that you keep it regularly updated by going and getting the physical that you need to have to make sure that your license is up to date and the CDL is up to date as it ought to be. And then the workers, the commitment that they have to work, and then you've got the commitment of a Sunday school teacher now, because when you're bringing the children in, you need to have a Sunday school teacher that's going to teach them, don't you? And so you've got a commitment of a Sunday school teacher when the bus children arrive, and then the commitment of a junior church worker who's going to gather those children up that came on the bus, like what's taking place in our fellowship hall right now, where those junior church workers are gathered in there and they're trying to teach those children that have come and they're a part of our bus route this morning. And then those who are involved with visitation, our visitation efforts as well, the commitment that they need to have as well, and their faithfulness and the desire that God needs to continually put upon their heart to continue the work that we've started in our bus ministry. And so you say, well, with all of that cost, with all that work, with all that time, the problems that could arise, and then the commitment, and then what about the liability? The fact that we could go out on that bus on a Sunday morning and we could be involved in an accident. Now, I understand that you could be involved in an accident on the way to church as well, but think about the liability of a bus that's full of children. Think about the liability of a bus that's full of teenagers and full of adults that want to come into church. Now, one thing I will say, I try to say on a regular basis to our bus workers, is that we want to make sure that we don't take the safety that God has given to us for granted. We want to thank Him for the safety as we go out on that bus and we bring children in. But what about the potential of an accident or the potential of an injury? Somebody that's getting on and off the bus and an injury that could take place. What about that liability? Well, we could answer all of those statements that an individual could have about a bus ministry with really one statement back. What about the cost? What about the time? What about the commitment? What about the work that's involved? The problems? The liability? Well, eternal results are well worth the cost. Whatever it is that you could put on that list, and I'm sure I didn't list it all. Why would you have a bus ministry if all of this is involved in it? Why would you do it? Because the eternal results are always worth the cost. Here's what we would say that would be true about a bus ministry. You cannot put a price on a soul. You cannot put a price on a soul. And here's the great blessing that we have in a bus ministry. All the labor that we would ever do would be worth it just for one soul. But yet a bus route allows you to bring in many souls. And that's the great blessing that God gives us. We can't put a cost on a soul. So our bus ministry involves children. We read that passage, Brother Rob read that passage just a minute ago, about the children that Jesus talks about in Mark chapter number 10. We're going to take the time to look there in Mark chapter number 10. Because our bus ministry does involve children. And by the way, every church ought to have an outreach plan to reach children. And I am thankful that our church has an outreach plan to reach children. Now, we ought to have an outreach plan to reach every age group. We ought to have an outreach plan to reach teenagers. We ought to have an outreach plan to reach adults. And we ought to have an outreach plan to reach senior citizens as well. But we certainly ought to have a plan to reach children. And I'm thankful that our church has an outreach plan to reach children because Jesus loves children, doesn't He? And the Bible talks about that in Mark chapter number 10. Now, our children are reached here through our Sunday school program that we have, graded Sunday school classes. We've got Sunday school teachers that are sitting in here right now, and you take of your time and your energy to study for your lesson and to get it ready so that you can present it to the children that will be in your class. We have a junior church program. Right now, the children are being taught over there, and they're being taught about the love of God. They're being taught about a Savior that died for them and gave His life so that they could have eternal life. They're being taught how to grow as a Christian and how to know how to serve the Lord as you grow in the church that God has put them in. We have a Wednesday night program. We call that our Youth Focus program. It's for the purpose of, it's an outreach program to be able to reach children so that we can have an opportunity to share with them Christ and we can have an opportunity to teach them and see them grow in the Lord. We have good news clubs. Because of the virus, our good news clubs have been shut down for a time now, but these are Bible clubs that we have inside of area public schools so that we can present the gospel to children. And so our church has an outreach plan for children. Why? Because we see in Scripture that Jesus loves them. And so we want to pick them up on a bus and we want to bring them to church so that they can have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Look at what the Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13. I know Brother Rob read it. It says, "And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.'" We'll come back to that verse in just a minute. Look at verse 15. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms." Could you imagine being one of those children that day? Have you ever pictured that? Man, you're one of the children in His arms. He took them up in His arms. And the Bible says, "And He put His hands upon them and blessed them." Can I say that the heart of God tells us in this passage that children are a blessing, they are not a burden. All of the children that we would bring in on our bus route, they are a blessing and not a burden. Children need to be loved. Children need to be saved. And children need to be fed as well. When we say fed, we're not talking about physical food, although that's true also now. But they need to be fed spiritual food so that they can grow. And Jesus says, I love the children. Don't allow them to come to me. Don't push them away, he said. Allow them to come to me. Back to verse number 14, it says at the end of the verse, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. A child is a great example in this passage. A child is a great example of what is necessary for salvation. Two things that we would see about a child that are true about salvation. It requires faith and it requires humility. And that's exactly the example that a child gives to us. The opposite of those two are unbelief and pride. An individual who will not put their faith in Christ lives in unbelief. I don't want to believe what God says. I don't want to trust what he says. And so I live in unbelief. A child shows a wonderful picture, a wonderful example to us of faith. They trust, don't they? They just believe what they are told. Then they show a wonderful picture of humility. You know, the opposite of humility is pride, and pride will keep a lot of people out of heaven, won't it? Pride is going to send a lot of people to hell because they won't humble their heart to come to know Jesus as their Savior, but that's the wonderful example that a child leaves for us. They give us a wonderful example of faith. They trust God and they take God at His word. And they give us a wonderful example of humility. Pride doesn't stand in their way, but instead they realize they're sinners. They realize I need the Savior, and they come to trust Christ as Savior. So here's what Jesus is saying to us in Mark chapter number 10. We've got to come to Him with a childlike faith, don't we? Just like a child would come to the Savior, we come to Him with childlike faith, the Bible says. We put our trust in Him. If you were to look at statistics, and I don't have them in front of me so that I can read them to you now, but if you were to look at statistics, you would find that the majority of salvation decisions are made in the childhood years. As the numbers go up to 20s and then to the 30s and then to the 40s and then to the 50s and you get all the way up to the 70s and 80 years old of life, you're going to find that the percentages of salvation get smaller and smaller and smaller. And why is that true? Because salvation takes a childlike faith. You'll put your trust in Jesus, and pride doesn't stand in the way, but in humility. Now, I am not about to say that no one in here trusted Christ in their later years of life. I know that wouldn't be true. But I am saying that a large majority of salvation decisions are made in the childhood years of life. Some of you are sitting here, and you can attest to that. That's when I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior in my childhood years with childlike faith that Jesus speaks of. But you know, there's another time that he spoke to his disciples. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18, if you would. And he talks again to his disciples here in Matthew chapter number 18 about a child. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 18 in verse number 1. It says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, the Bible tells us they are having a debate about this. In the passage of Scripture that is parallel to this in the other Gospels, in Mark chapter 9 and in Luke chapter number 9, the Bible tells us that the disciples are actually almost having an argument or a debate over who's going to be the greatest. Well, guess who Jesus uses as an example of the greatest? Look at what it says in verse number 2. It says, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. You know, in the society that the disciples lived in the society that was taking place in the days that Jesus was on earth, a child would be regarded as insignificant. Now, why would they be considered insignificant? Because they had to completely rely on somebody else. They had to have all of their needs met. And it's almost as if they are not saying it out this way, but it almost was as in that society as if a child was a burden. We have to care for them. They're helpless. They can't do things on their own. But I want to say that even though children may have been insignificant in the society that Jesus lived in while he was here on earth, they were significant in the eyes of Jesus, weren't they? And because they are significant in the eyes of Jesus, they would then be significant in the eyes of those who are his followers and in those who are a part of this church. We would say that children are significant, aren't they? Look at what it says in verse number 3. It says, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted." Here he goes again. What does it take to be converted? It takes a childlike faith, doesn't it? It takes the childlike faith and the childlike humility. And he says, "And become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me," he said. He brings this little child before him for the purpose of illustrating the reversal of values in God's kingdom. On earth, it may have been that they were insignificant, but he says in God's kingdom, a little child with childlike faith is very significant. He brings the child before them again to give them an illustration of faith or dependence upon God and humility. Those children were helpless and they were without status in their childhood years. And unlike those children with no status, the disciples, they expected to be honored. And Jesus contrasts their pride with the humility of a little child. He said the little child shall be the one that's considered greatest because of their humility and their faith that they've put in the Lord. Many children in their humility and faith come to know Christ in their childhood years. The older we get, sadly, the harder our hearts can become. And the more pride can fill our lives. And so we want children to be in our church, don't we? Now, why do we want children to be in our church? So that they can learn about Jesus. And they can receive Him as their Savior. And how is it that the bus ministry comes into play with all of this? How is it that the bus ministry enables us to have children that are sitting in church and hearing about Jesus and hearing about salvation? Well, the best way for a child to come to church, we would say the best way for them to come to church is with their parents. But that doesn't always happen, does it? That's where our bus ministry comes in. We would say the best thing a parent could do is not to send a child to church, but to take a child to church. But that doesn't always happen. Because of the hardness of hearts, many times, parents, adults, they'll stay out of church. And sadly, children begin to suffer, don't they? And that's where we would say our bus ministry comes into play. Our bus ministry enables children to come in and hear the gospel. Many times children, because of the hardness of the hearts of parents and adults, they can become the casualties of a broken home. They can become the casualties of a family that would say, "Well, I don't have transportation." Aren't you thankful that the bus answers that excuse, doesn't it? "Hey, I don't have transportation." "Well, we'll bring you to church." Or perhaps children can become the casualties of unbelief at home. Maybe perhaps a parent or maybe perhaps a family member that doesn't know the truth. Some that get to a point where they don't even care about the truth, nor do they even want to know the truth. And then children can sadly become the casualties of sin and rebellion that's in the hearts of adults, that's in the hearts of parents, where they're living for self and they're living for sin instead of living the way the Savior would have them to live. Again, that's where our bus route comes in. How do we reach children? How do we reach them with all of these obstacles that they face? How would we reach them? How would we bring them to the Savior? Well, one of the ways we do that, amongst other ways, is a bus route that goes out on a Sunday morning and picks individuals up for church that need a ride to get to God's house. So can I give you, at the end of this message, really quickly, three great reasons why we would have the bus ministry? We're going to go through these quickly. But I want to give you three reasons why we would have our bus ministry that we have. I want you to look at Luke chapter 14 for just a moment. I want you to look at Luke chapter 14. This is certainly a very familiar passage of Scripture when we would talk about a bus route. Look at what Luke chapter number 14 says. We'll start in verse number 16. And I want to say, number one, what is the reason why we would have a bus route? Number one, because it's a great evangelistic tool. It's a great way. You say, what do you mean by evangelistic? Well, it's a great way for us to reach many people with the gospel. It's a great way for us to evangelize those that are lost. So notice how the bus ministry is a great evangelistic tool. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter number 14, down to verse 16. It says this. and said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Here's a parable that Jesus gives. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them which were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. From verse 18 through verse number 20, the excuses that they give show what they believed to be more important. Just like we gave you just a moment ago, the excuses that perhaps in homes we could hear, because an individual in a home would believe that to be more important. But God's got an answer for the excuses, doesn't he? Look at what he says in verse number 21. It says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Look at what it says in verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. What do we want to do with our bus ministry? We consider it a great evangelistic tool. Why do we consider it that? What do we want to do with our bus ministry? Well, we want to be going out to the highways and hedges. And we want to be compelling sinners to come to Jesus, no matter what age they are. We want to compel individuals to come to Jesus. And why is that? Look at the end of verse number 23, that my house may be filled. You know, one of the unique advantages that we have with a bus ministry is the bus route makes it possible to bring many people at one time. Can I say this? One of the great evangelistic tools that we have here in our church is our bus ministry. We have other evangelistic tools, but one of the greatest evangelistic tools that we have is a bus ministry. And if you have in your heart an interest in seeing souls saved, the bus ministry would be a ministry for you. Because the bus ministry is a ministry that enables you to see souls saved. It's a great evangelistic tool. I think of the many individuals that we have seen trust Christ as Savior over the years. The opportunity to present the gospel to those that come in on the bus. A powerful tool to fulfill the great commission that God has given to us. What did God say to us? We're to go into all the world. And what a great opportunity it gives us. An evangelistic tool to reach the lost. But here's number two. We're going to go through these quickly. Number one, what is a reason why we would have a bus route? Because it's a great evangelistic tool. But then number two, what's the second step in the Great Commission? It's not only a great evangelistic tool, it's a great discipleship tool as well. It's a great discipleship tool. Remember what the Great Commission says. We'll turn to it quickly in Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at it just in case you're not familiar with exactly what Jesus says to his disciples. Matthew chapter 28. And look down at the very end of that chapter, and we're drawing this to a close. It says in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 28, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, discipleship begins. Sometimes we would think of discipleship beginning by taking somebody through the Bible. Maybe perhaps some of you have considered discipleship as a one-on-one thing where you're taking somebody through the Bible and you're trying to see them grow in the Lord that way. Discipleship begins, really, we could say, with faithful attendance to services. Think of Sunday school. Think of Sunday school, the discipleship tool that Sunday school is. Sunday school teachers that have worked throughout the week getting a lesson ready so that when the bus empties out and everybody's sitting in the classrooms where they're supposed to be in, they're learning from God's word. What a discipleship tool to say, I'm going to faithfully bring in a busload of people and let them sit in a Sunday school class. That's a discipleship tool, isn't it? And then moving from faithful attendance in Sunday school to faithful attendance in church. I'm getting to hear the teaching and I'm getting to hear the preaching of God's word. It's a way for me to be discipled or to grow, to learn. And what does God say is supposed to happen? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Can I say that throughout the years of our bus ministry here, we've had a lot of individuals saved and we've had a lot of individuals follow the Lord in believer's baptism. A discipleship tool. To see people saved and then to see people baptized and then to see people growing in the Lord and then going back to a home in which you've reached one family member and then reaching another family member in that same home. You talk about a blessing. You talk about discipleship taking place through this ministry that we call the bus ministry. Reaching to other family members that are inside of that home and then seeing these individuals that you are working with in a bus ministry growing up in the house of God, growing up in the service of the Lord and seeing them used of God in the later years of their life. We could give illustrations of things that have happened here in our church. We've got a young man that's standing over right now teaching junior church because he rode a church bus when he was a kid. We've got Corey standing over there. By the way, we got his mother sitting back there today. We're so glad to have her. We're so glad to have Rebecca here with us today. And I remember the day that Corey got saved. He was a fifth grader. I remember. I preached that day. And he listened to the message. He listened to the gospel as it was being preached. And I remember he went to the back because that's where we told everybody to go that wanted to receive Jesus as their Savior. And I remember that morning, Mr. Mike Buzzard, who he's over there, by the way, helping with today, He sat him down in the classroom in the back and he showed him how he could be saved and trust Jesus as his Savior. And then Corey, an example that we could give, one of many examples, started to grow in the Lord. Corey came here to one of our youth conferences. I remember it was on a Saturday and he came to one of our youth conferences. He told me, he tells me all the time, he said, I can't remember what year it was. I don't even know if I remember which speaker was speaking. But God started to speak to his heart about preaching. And that was the day that Corey came to an altar. And he surrendered his heart to preach and to be involved in the gospel ministry and to see the Lord allow him to grow and to see the Lord using his life now. What a discipleship tool. I think of a friend of mine who's a pastor in Spanishburg, West Virginia. He pastors Rich Creek Baptist Church in Spanishburg, West Virginia. And I went to college with him and he grew up on a bus route. He grew up on a bus route because there was a bus worker that came by his house because his mom and dad didn't care so much to go to church, but they wanted him to go to church. And so he got on the bus route, and he got saved, and he grew in the Lord, and he attended Bible college. He felt like God would have him to preach, and now he's the pastor of Rich Creek Baptist Church in Spanishburg, West Virginia. Good friend of mine. He grew up in the bus ministry. My wife grew up coming on a bus route when she was a child. Isn't it amazing how God can use that ministry as a discipleship tool to see people trust Jesus as Savior, to see them baptized, growing in the Lord, and making decisions to do what God would have them to do as they grow and as they're discipled here in our church. Sunday school teachers that are sitting here today, you have a part in that discipleship. You have a bus rider that gets off that bus and they come in your class, you ought to be grateful. You ought to be thankful that they're coming off that bus and they're getting in your class and you get to teach them. You get the opportunity to share Jesus with them. You get to see them grow in the Lord and make decisions for Jesus Christ. What a joy we have because of this ministry that we have. It's an evangelistic tool. It's a discipleship tool. But can I say this lastly about the bus ministry this morning? It's also a tool for service as well. One of the greatest individuals that we have, some of the greatest individuals that we have in our church that serve the Lord are those that are involved in our bus ministry. Some of the greatest individuals that serve in our church. Now, that's not to put any other area of service down because I'm thankful for all of the individuals that serve. But I'm thankful for bus workers that have a burden. I'm thankful for bus workers that care to get up early on a Sunday morning and come and be on a bus. I'm thankful for their willingness to put in the work, to have that friendship and that fellowship with those that are riding on the bus. Aren't you thankful that we as a church have a bus ministry that provides an opportunity for people to serve Jesus? a ministry that gives us another way to serve our Savior. And one of those avenues that we have where we can serve Jesus is the bus ministry. Do you know that in the bus ministry, a servant models to a bus rider and a bus family many things? A bus worker models faithfulness. It takes faithfulness to be a bus worker. It takes faithfulness to be involved in visiting every single week. It takes faithfulness to say, I'm going to get up on that bus and I'm going to drive it every week. It takes faithfulness to say, I'm going to work on that bus every Sunday morning. And so we're modeling, as servants of the Lord, we're modeling faithfulness. We're modeling commitment because we're sacrificing time. You sacrifice energy. You sacrifice even money at times for the work that God has called you to do. You know something else we're modeling is we're modeling when we serve the Lord. By the way, this is not just our bus ministry now. When you serve the Lord, you're modeling to others as you serve the Lord commitment and faithfulness, but you're also modeling love, aren't you? And we're talking about a love that is unconditional. Remember when Jesus looked out over the multitude that needed to know him and needed him to be their shepherd? Remember he said he was moved with compassion. Compassion helps us to see the need that someone has and to do something about it. Take action. And that's what Jesus did. We model a love that is unconditional. And can I say this is about the bus route as well as any other ministry that you can be involved in which you are serving? It's all for someone else. Isn't that what's wonderful about ministry for Jesus? It's all for someone else. It's not about you. It's about what you can do for someone else. And isn't that exactly what Jesus wants our heart to desire? To be a servant where we do something for someone else. Can I say this in closing about the bus ministry? Over the many years that I've worked on a bus route and in a bus ministry, whether it be ours or at another church, I can say this. I know the bus ministry works. Some might say, well, is that a ministry that's really going to work? It's been proven over many, many years that it does work. Souls have been saved and lives have been changed and individuals have grown in the Lord. So it's a ministry that works. Can I say something else about the bus ministry? It's a ministry that also has God's blessing on it. I truly believe that that's one of the ministries that we have here in our church, that God's blessing is on it. God's blessing is on those who are a part of it and those children and teenagers and adults that ride the bus. And can I say this about the bus ministry? It's also a ministry that'll change a church as a whole. You say, well, wait a minute. How's it going to change me as a church member if I'm not on the bus? Because the church as a whole gets a heart for souls, don't they? The church as a whole gets a love for souls. Because when you arrive at church, you may not have worked on the bus, but you get to see the riders get off the bus. And you get to know they're going to come into a Sunday school class. And you get to know they're going to hear the Word of God. And that might be the day they trust Jesus as Savior. That might be the day He changes their life. That might be the day they can take that back home to their home that may not know Jesus. And be able to have a testimony inside of that home. It gives us a heart, doesn't it? It's one of the ministries in a church where it's not about us. It's about someone else. And isn't that a great blessing? It changes the heart of a church as a whole. Can I ask you this? By way of application today, I want you to think about the answer to these questions in your heart. Would God have you to be involved in some way in our bus ministry? Answer that in your heart today. Would God have you to be involved in some way? Maybe perhaps for some it would be working on the bus. Maybe perhaps for some it would be visiting for the bus. Maybe perhaps for some it would be, I need to pray more for the bus route. I need to be praying maybe specifically for that particular ministry, and God's put that on my heart this morning. And then could I ask you one last question today? By way of application, are you thankful to God that this is a ministry in our church? Don't look at it as a costly ministry. Don't look at it as it's a ministry with a lot of liability. There's a lot of people that have to commit their time and their energy and their efforts to it. But why don't we thank God for the bus ministry of our church. And all the many souls that have been saved and lives that have been changed because a bus goes out and picks up a rider that may not have a way to church if it wouldn't be for the old gospel bus. I'm thankful for the bus ministry. I'm thankful that our church has a part in it. Now, I don't want you to get offended by what I'm about to say, but we do have a flyer that we hand out on Saturdays when we go out and bus visit. And at the top of it, it says about the bus ministry, the most exciting ride to church. Now, don't get offended that your car is not the most exciting ride to church. The bus route is the most exciting ride to church. And I'm thankful I can be a part of it. I'm thankful our church can. Why don't you be a part of it? Even if it's just saying, God, help me to pray more for it. Why don't we have a burden for this ministry that we have? I'm thankful for our workers. I'm thankful for their faithfulness. I'm thankful for our riders. And let God continue to give our church a vision and a heart for a bus ministry. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father, thank you for the message time this morning.